Welcome into the Ultimate Trivia Podcast, the show where knowledge is power and laughter is our only reward. I am your host, Andy. We have the whole crew with us, as we always do. Brian, say hey to the folks.
Hey, folks. How we doing?
Kelly, give it to them.
Hello, Gebna.
Good evening, Nick.
Hello, Andy.
And
I feel like I'm talking to you instead of the audience.
Well, that's all right. Yeah. Say hi to the audience for
Hello,
us.
Hello, audience. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. How about you, Doc?
Yep, I'm here. Let's do it.
Dr. Scott.
Poetic, isn't he? Let's do it.
Let's do it. Guys, we have a really special announcement. We are officially recording in our new studio.
Whoop.
Scott has graciously hosted us in his man cave, and we have been spending time getting everything set up. And if you follow us on social media, you'll see that there is actually about a 2-month delay between when you're hearing this and when it actually happened.
True.
But, you know, we've been real transparent about how we record in advance. So we got a great episode in line for you today. I'm not sure the guys necessarily will feel that way.
Oh, boy.
We are going to whet your appetite again.
Oh,
as we
come
head
on
back into the culinary arts.
Just giving a win to Nick, basically.
Before we get to all of that, I am a little nervous that Nick is going to be a runaway winner on this, but It is not cooking necessarily. We're going to get to all that, I promise. Okay. But we're going to get to the question of the week. And since we're heading back into the kitchen, I want to hear from each of you. If you had someone coming over, I like to use the example of the Queen of England, which, yes, I realize that is no longer appropriate. Nevertheless, you have somebody coming over you really, really want to impress. You got to put a 3-course meal out. I think we're all at different stages in our cooking life. I'm going to start actually with Nick, since he's got the deepest Rolodex.
I do. So by you saying the Queen of England just made me think of an outside person.
Okay.
So I want to go Midwestern. I want to go St. Louis. So my ultimate St. Louis meal would be toasted ravs.
Mm-hmm.
Main course,
pork steak.
You get a pork steak, yep. Sides, whatever. I'm not going to be specific on those. And
gooey
for dessert,
butter cake.
Gooey butter cake.
I love it, man.
That's the
awesome
3-course meal. Here's St. Louis, I think it might be that for me.
It is as St. Louis as it gets.
Yes, right there. No, that's my first thought. Again, Queen of England.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what St. Louis food is. So then that made sense
to me. The king, I guess.
No, yes. Nobody does. The people that live there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, that is as regional as I think anything could be. And quite frankly, you've named 3 of my favorite things on earth. So
I feel good about it.
All right. Brian, where are you at, brother? Where's your head at? Just talk me through it a little bit.
Well, I'm gonna go with the Caesar salad because I love Caesar salad.
Nice. Brilliant. Do you like Caesar anchovies salad in your Caesar salad?
Yes, no. I do.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And that's the only place I like them.
Yeah, me too. Okay. So that's So I'll go Caesar salad, and I'll go with a little teriyaki chicken off the grill.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, as far as the dessert goes,
yeah,
I don't know. That's where I'm.
That's the easiest one, I think, to buy at a store and just serve it out of the, you know, whatever you're.
You know, I'll go with the peach cobbler.
Ooh.
Man,
one of my favorites.
That's clutch.
Like
that.
Nice.
It's a good menu.
Very self-serving. Yeah. Hope you like this, this, because that's what I like.
I'm not really trying to impress you. I'm just making my favorite.
I just like to eat, and you can watch me do it.
I'm not going
to
make her fish and chips. Like, you already know what those are supposed to taste like. I'm not going to serve you my crap. She doesn't know what gooey butter cake's supposed to taste like. She might think it's great.
That's true. It was an accident, by the way.
Yeah.
It was created on accident. True. Kelly? You know your way around a kitchen, whether you have a deep Rolodex of recipes or not.
Slightly. I would, same appetizer, toasted raviolis, just because it's one of my personal favorite. And you always judge a toasted ravioli by the sauce, because toasted ravioli is very, it's very similar in most places. Obviously, places on the hill can do it better. Bella Milano's does it fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Too many places serve the sauce cold. I don't like that.
I don't like it either. It has to be warm. Yeah, has to be heated up.
Yeah.
And then I would do a nice steak, probably a sirloin strip with a chimichurri sauce, because that's one of my favorite. Oh, God, it's so delicious. And then I'm not a big dessert guy, so I think I would go with a fancy cheesecake. That's probably one of my favorites. So
nice. I like that.
That's one of my favorite desserts, too.
Yeah.
Do you have a place that is your favorite cheesecake?
No, I haven't gotten it at too many places. Just store-bought cheesecake is what I've experienced most.
Yeah.
So,
all right, doctor, are you the doctor of the kitchen?
I am not.
We learned that already once, actually.
Yeah, you did. You learned it well. Here comes some more. Gonna make a Southwest egg roll for my appetizer.
Oh, wow. Have you ever done that
before? No.
Do you have any idea
but
where to start?
But it's for the queen, so I gotta do something.
You gotta put some research in.
Yeah,
gonna buy them frozen. He's gonna buy them frozen.
Right. I'm gonna go to my favorite restaurant that makes them.
There we go. There you go.
Buy them from Longhorn.
Throw it in some styrofoam and bring it home.
She's not gonna care. Okay. She's not even with us.
Yes. We've established that part.
Main course. I mean, that's tough. I mean, pork steak is the obvious choice. Brian mentioned teriyaki chicken. We got a steak. I don't know. I make a ranch chicken dish that I like.
Tell me more.
It's ranch. Usually
ranch grill, and chicken. Yeah.
Usually grill it. Do like my own shake and bake, which primarily is ranch, but it does have other seasonings in it.
Interesting.
Ricky Bobby.
You know, but I kind of put some olive oil in there, let it, you know, marinate over for about 48 hours and then grill it. So, you know, something the queen probably hasn't had before.
Boy, she will be impressed by your ranch shake and bake.
She will.
No doubt.
I thought you were going to go ballpark hot dog. 100%.
No, 100%.
Over an open fire?
That's close. Like she gets a hot dog and then you have another one in your pocket that you give her.
Right.
Like that's what I saw for the main course.
He's not sharing hot dogs.
No, that's her extra hot dog.
And then I think we're going to drink our dessert.
Oh, that a boy.
So we'll do, you know, some kind of mixed drink.
Jepson's Malort.
Or
a dessert drink.
Yeah.
Like a White Russian.
Yeah, you could do a White Russian.
Have you ever had
Malort?
It'd have to be an acquired taste.
Matter of fact, you have had Malort. At a soccer game.
I've had it. Yeah.
You remember that?
That's Malort.
Malort. Yeah. It is one of the worst liquors on planet. Get out of here.
We're just going to have him try it.
I want to try it. I'll still try it. If it's the worst ever, I still want to try it.
I really like to watch you squirm, but I don't know if I can do that to you even. I mean, it's really bad.
I want it.
I think it's made in Chicago.
I want to do it on the show.
Okay.
I mean,
what's it called again?
Malort. M-O-L-O-R-T.
It even sounds gross from the get-go.
Yeah.
It's not an appealing name. Malort.
I don't even know. Like,
what kind of drink is this? I'm sorry, I missed
some kind of liqueur.
Yeah, it's a flavored, I don't know, vodka of some kind or something. I don't even know what it is.
Like a schnapps,
maybe. Yeah, that's probably a pretty good description, actually.
So it's not full. It's not a full, like, you know, 80 proof or whatever.
Black licorice Zambuca.
It'll take paint off your car, I think.
I want to try it on the show. Bring it in.
Right. Well, I think like you, Nick. And I want to do something regional and, you know, something that whether it's the queen or whoever is not going to be able to compare it to, because the Midwest is about the only place you can find it.
Are you going
to
pick cracker pizza?
I think it's St. Louis style. No,
deep dish.
I'm staying in the realm of barbecue.
Okay.
And I would go St. Louis style ribs, which is my personal favorite. I like a rib. I think the most common, the most well-liked application is the fall-off-the-bone rib. I say that with air quotes. I don't prefer that. I like a pull-off-the-bone. So there's just a little bit of tug left to it.
Sure.
Otherwise, it tends to get a little mushy.
Spicy on
like to work a little bit on your food.
That's right. A sweet and spicy sauce on there.
I had to be spicy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like the bacon-wrapped Vienna sausages. I don't think that's regional per se.
I don't know if that's regional or not.
The queen will go nuts for that.
Yeah,
who would
call though?
That's a good option.
And then Kelly, I hate to jump on yours, but cheesecake is my personal favorite. So like Brian, I'm just going to choose what I like the best and they can deal with it.
Okay.
All right. Well, that was not submitted by anybody. That's just a question that I wanted to ask everyone. So I appreciate you playing along.
I could tell it came from you.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have a listener submission for this week. So please, everyone, send us some questions so we can answer them on the show. We've already alluded to the fact we intend to have full mailbag shows that we will release. And it's just us sitting here debating these topics. So we are at the ultimate trivia podcast at gmail.com.
What is a mailbag?
Wait, mailbag?
Can we just do a mailbag episode now instead of doing food again? Everybody okay with that?
You three can debate, and I'll ask Nick questions. How about that? No pressure, Nick, by the way.
We can play together?
Ooh, that's not a bad idea.
This is a lot of pressure.
Yeah. And we're also at social media. Find us at YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok. Hit them all, yeah. And submit some questions. We love to debate silly things. So would you rather is the more sillier the, that's not a word, the sillier the scenario, the more fun we'll have with it. All right, we are moving on to today's topic, and it is a specific category that I think everybody will relax just a little bit when they hear. It is appetizers.
Okay.
We will be identifying appetizers or elements of appetizers.
I think everybody has a fair shake at this one. It has nothing to do with my cooking abilities.
I'm just about to crush the doctor.
You said that to make yourself... I know what you're doing.
Yes, I did. I am. I'm playing it up. Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
So then when you win, you'd be like, oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, kind of.
Okay.
They're going to call me out, jerk. Man.
I'm afraid that none of the answers have anything to do with chicken wings.
Oh, that's too bad.
So the doc is
I mean, behind I'm the say that is the appetizer.
Well, sure.
Okay. That's got some more main course than an appetizer.
Well, it's a little of everything, isn't it?
That's true.
Yeah, that's a main course. That's not a,
no.
Especially when you say I'll start with 20 wings. That usually kind of takes out of the appetizer realm a little bit, Scott.
Have 20 wings, order. And then every 7 minutes, I want you to bring me 20 more wings every 7 minutes.
Wolf of Wall Street with chicken wings.
until I can't move.
until I pass out, then bring me 7 more. Wake me up. And then,
that's when you bring the turbo.
Yeah.
Well, I will give you a little hint. We are going to do the tiebreaker, whether we actually need the tiebreaker or not, because it is that impressive, and it involves chicken wings.
All right. Okay. Now I'm ready.
There's a teaser there sticking around. All right. Appetizers have a rich history dating back to the ancient times when small, flavorful dishes were served to stimulate the appetite before the main meal. They vary widely across cultures and are enjoyed around the world in endless varieties, often offering a taste of local traditions and culinary innovation. Whether simple or elaborate, appetizers set the stage for what's to come, making them an essential part of the dining experience. That is my favorite type of dining, when it is an experience. Anybody consider themselves an adventurous eater?
I like to think I am.
I feel like.
I'll try almost anything.
I'll try almost anything once.
The list of things, I'll ask Nick and Kelly specifically, since you consider yourself adventurous, the list of things that you actively don't like that are offensive to your palate.
Oh.
How long would that list be? Ballpark.
Sure.
Like mine's like under 10, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not a big fan of like the pickled herring and like anchovies, rough, hard fish like that. Other than that, I mean, I'm not going to try like.
I'm not a liver. Like, I don't like liver, the texture of it and the mineral taste to it. I can't get past it. I'll eat almost any organ, but that one, some reason I cannot get around it.
When I've tried. Get into really weird stuff, like I'm not going to try duck-billed platypus anus, you know. Get,
is that a thing? I'm not going to say that wouldn't.
It could be.
Would you eat a bull testicle?
I would try it. I've never tried it, and I would try it.
I would 100%. I never have. I want to say that I would try it, but I don't know if I could put that in my mouth.
I know you could.
You know?
I know he could.
How do you know?
All right. Well, okay. We're going to move on from there. Queeners, you did not raise your hand in terms of the adventurous eaters. Do you consider yourself picky, or you're just kind of treading the line? Scotty will start it over there.
Yeah, I'm picky. Okay. I mean, my list of what I won't eat is quite extensive.
Is it to the point, give me like onions, for example. You like onions?
Nope.
Okay. If there is onions in something, will you not eat that dish?
No, I will. Okay. I don't like cooked onions. I don't like the texture.
Yeah. Okay.
But if it's cut up and in a chili or in a soup or...
You're better.
Then it's fine.
I got you. How about you, Brian?
Exact same way with onions.
Yeah. With onions specifically.
Cut up. Yeah, exactly what you just said. Yeah. Honestly. I don't want big slices on a burger or a sandwich, but if it's cut up in a stew or chili, whatever... Pasta, a lot of pastas.
You really don't notice it.
Don't notice it, and that's fine. And I don't even mind a little of the onion flavor, but I just don't like chunks of it pieces of it.
Yeah. I love a smash burger with like a whole slice of onion on it.
If you go to the ballpark.
A whole slice of raw onion on it.
Go to the ballpark and the steam table hot dogs. Not the regular ones, but the steam table where you get the caramelized onion. You can't put enough onions on there for me. Yeah. Those caramelized onions. I love them so much.
I'm that way with sauerkraut.
Yeah, same way.
Scott loves it when I come back from the concession stand at the ballpark with a
fun ride home and
a hot dog loaded full of sauerkraut.
Mm-hmm. Ruins a perfectly good hot dog.
Yeah. You just see the disappointment in his face and his olfactory lobe.
All right, what do you say we get after it? It's time for our main event, our 10-question trivia game on appetizers, and I will be your host. Here's how it works. I'll read the questions out loud. We will all write our answers on the whiteboard. And when I say reveal, you'll show your answers. If you get it right, you get a point. And if you don't, we're probably going to make fun of you. So let's see who ends up on top today. Board's ready.
Let's do it.
Nick, are you still my score guy?
Yes, sir.
Question number one. At a party, you spot these delightful little sausages wrapped in dough. What's the playful name of this crowd-pleasing appetizer? And we got some confidence back in our markers all of a sudden. Everyone's writing.
Big favorite of mine.
Brian has identified that he now has more ceiling space to raise his board even higher. And so we'll see if he's got longer arms than Kelly in this case.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Oh, perfect game alert. All right. One more time. At a party, you spot these delightful little sausages wrapped in dough. What are they called? Let's see them. We've got pigs in a blanket from Nick, Scott, Brian, Kelly. Everybody gets a point as that is the correct answer.
Whoop, whoop.
My kids make fun of me because when they would have soccer games, like when they were real little, I would make like a bag of pigs in a blanket. That would be my sit and watch snack.
That's weird, dude.
I know it is.
That's weird.
Like you're bringing
something?
I don't know. Yeah, oh, you know, you just grab one every once in a while.
A bag? I'm like, I see him pull out this steamy Ziploc bag because he put them in hot. So they're all slimy and stuff. And he's just, even though he doesn't have dip, somehow he has dip on his fingers, you know? I just see this disgusting slob. You're kind of a sheen to you, like the grease all over your face.
Yeah, you're sweating. Yeah. You know, you got the pig in a blanket sweats.
It's not a good look, Andy. It's not a good look.
Oh, Lord. Well, pigs in a blanket originated in the United States and have become a party staple. They consist of small sausages, often cocktail franks or hot dogs, wrapped in crescent roll dough or puff pastry. These bite-sized treats are typically baked until golden and served with a variety of dipping sauces. What's your favorite for a hot dog? Doc, you're the hot dog.
Well, I was wondering, I was going to actually ask about cheese or no cheese, because some people like to...
Cheese is a good move.
Is it a good move?
It is. Okay. It is. It works out very rarely well.
A bad move, regardless of what you're talking about.
You're talking about putting cheese inside and you wrap it. Yes. It's a solid move.
Oh, I don't think I've ever done that.
Don't sleep on the pepper jack when you do it either.
Mm-hmm.
Sets it off.
Anything with a little kick would be good.
It'll have a little kick to it. That's a good way to go.
I like that.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Everybody's on the board.
Yeah.
No offers tonight, huh?
Feels good. Not tonight.
Let's go to question number two. We're already getting adventurous here. The French appetizer escargot features this shellfish sautéed in garlic butter. What's this delicate delight? Nick and Kelly. Kelly's still writing. I caught him. Nick was done before I read. We got
answers. This question, there's only one thing somebody's going to ask when it comes to escargot.
I know.
So, yeah.
All right. We're going to read it again. Feeling adventurous? The French appetizer escargot features this is hard to say. This shellfish sautéed in garlic butter. Let's see the boards. We got a snail from Nick, from Doc, from Brian, from Kelly. That's two for two all the way around. That is a correct answer. Anybody had it?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, it's fine. Had it on a cruise. Actually, two different times on a cruise. Doc? Why? No, you're not a guy.
If it swims, well, if it comes out of the water, no thank you.
So I had to actually... I had to do some research to make sure that it was, in fact, a shellfish.
Well, it has a shell.
It is a shellfish. It's considered a mollusk, which is in the shellfish category.
Yeah. Naturally.
Because you're taking it out of the shell with a little toothpick thingy to pull it out and eat it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kelly, got a shell when they cook it.
Yes, I've had them.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not great. Nothing.
Chewing little rubber bands for a minute.
There wasn't the flavor. It wasn't like there was a good amount of flavor to it.
I mean, it's just garlic butter. That's all you taste anyway.
Chewing a loogie.
Okay.
Oh, that's terrible.
It's gross. Yeah.
Very gross.
I'm not the one who cooked it.
I'm not going to try it now.
True. Escargot is a French delicacy, and it dates back to ancient Roman times. That doesn't make sense. It involves snails cooked in garlic, butter, parsley, and sometimes shallots. This dish is often served in special snail dishes with individual indentations for each snail, allowing the rich garlic butter to permeate the tender meat. That's exactly how I've had it.
And I'm sure if France was still around in the Roman Empire, they just were taken over by the Roman Empire.
They were being run by the Romans.
The Gauls.
Okay.
Oh, look at you.
Roman.
Ooh.
Wow. Gosh, this is a history lesson all of a sudden.
Showing off.
I like it. I like it.
All right. Well, two for two. Here we go. Question number three. Skipping the rice, this Japanese appetizer features thinly sliced raw fish, highlighting the pure flavor of the sea. What's this dish called? Ooh, Brian was very quick. Kelly was very quick. Nick is, I can't say what moment he's having, but he's having a moment, it looks like. Scott can say it.
Well, I'm just wondering who stole my marker.
Did you lose? It's on the back of your board there, genius.
My goodness.
Are you sure you're a doctor?
Not a real doctor.
He admits it. Fine.
That was fantastic.
It is magnetic and it is stuck.
I don't know. We're going to have to reread the question because I wasn't paying attention. All I heard was sliced meat. Like we're at a deli.
Oh my God.
Like an old man.
My favorite moment of the show so far.
His marker was literally magnetized on the back of his board.
Who thought these things were two-sided?
You know the newer.
It's like that time he got that random hot dog stuck to his face. He couldn't remember where it was. It was on his.
You know? I appreciate everything Sydney did, but
I had a hot dog around here somewhere.
Did he see my hot dog?
Pick up on that?
Oh man.
Like it's all my answers are still there.
What do you mean?
I'm using the new eraser. And when
it's not fully erased.
I can still see it.
You can just see the mark outline of it.
Look behind you. See my other answers.
Yeah, I see it there.
Okay.
All
right. So what?
We'll be all right.
It's because we need to actually clean the whole.
Scott needs to read the board question.
Yeah, I have no idea what the question is.
We're going to get back to it.
Okay, good.
Marker, Scott?
Skipping the rice.
Okay.
Ready? Skipping the rice. This Japanese appetizer features thinly sliced raw fish, highlighting the pure flavor of the sea. What is this dish called? You feel good there, Brian?
Not really.
No? I mean, you came up with something real fast.
Guess, yeah. I don't know.
What about you, Doc? Does that marker work for you?
It works good.
Okay, good.
I'm changing my answer.
When you can find it.
Yes. Oh, that was a great one.
What is the guy that's never had sushi?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, my bad. But he said skipping the rice.
Yeah. Okay.
My bad.
Hold on, Barry. Are you going to change your answer?
No.
He did not give the answer away. I will tell you that is not the correct answer. Back to the boards we go.
Wow. Sorry. My bad, guys. We could have just edited that out and pretend I never did it.
Well, that's true. But anyway, Kelly's back thinking, we're going to leave all this in. Why not?
That's fine.
This is a real moment of the guy sitting at the table.
Show first. I got egg on my face for saying something.
Hey, at least you didn't lose your marker on the back of your board.
I got that going for me. I feel good now. Thanks.
All right. One last time while Kelly finishes the answer. Skipping the rice. This Japanese appetizer features thinly sliced raw fish, highlighting the pure flavor of the sea. Let's see the boards. Brian committed to sushi. We have, I don't know what Kelly.
Sashimi?
Sushimi.
Sashimi.
We've got kimchi.
Kimchi.
Kimchi. And Niori from Nick. Oh, I don't know if I'm giving Kelly the answer. I don't think I am. The answer is sashimi.
Wow.
Which I could not think of that. I could not think of sashimi.
So I said everything except for one incorrect vowel.
Yeah. Show me again. Did you erase it?
I erased it as S-H-O-S-I-M-E is what I put.
Did you mean sashimi?
I meant, well, I didn't know the pronunciation, but sashimi, I don't know if that's...
That's a point for
Kelly. I gave it to him.
That's a point for Kelly. He knew what he was talking about, and we're not holding...
90s skit with Chris Farley. When Mike Myers is hosting, he's on the Japanese game show. Is it called The Embassy?
Oh, here? Right. Yeah, right.
I'll think of it. Anybody know?
I can't think of that one.
I can't think of that one.
Yeah.
Well, sashimi, S-A-S-H-I-M-I, is a traditional Japanese dish, and it showcases the art of precision slicing. Made from the freshest raw fish, such as tuna, salmon, or yellowtail, sashimi is served without rice, often accompanied by soy sauce, wasabi, and pickled ginger. This dish emphasizes the purity and quality of the fish, making it a true delicacy. So, it's nigiri without the bed of rice. So, it is in the sushi
family. Nigiri was the word
family.
I was trying to think of as well.
Nori is the paper. That's the seaweed paper. Anyway, anybody else need a sushi lesson? It's probably my favorite.
Nope. I won't remember any of that.
All right.
What? Favorite food?
I love sushi.
Really?
Yeah, if I could, my last meal would probably be sushi.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I can eat a ton of sushi.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
I'm impressed. Yeah.
All right. Number four, which creamy, dreamy Mexican appetizer perfect for dipping tortilla chips is made from mashed avocado, lime juice, and a dash of spice? Boards are active. People are feeling good about this one. Which creamy, dreamy Mexican appetizer perfect for dipping tortilla chips?
We don't have to spell this correct.
You do not. It is made from mashed potatoes.
Apparently.
Not mashed potatoes. Mashed avocados, lime juice, and a dash of spice.
Apparently you have to be very specific on your spelling when you spell sashimi. Yeah.
I don't know. Why am I hard on you? I'm so hard on you for some reason.
That's, I think it's an underlying Freudian thing going on there.
Maybe. I don't know.
On me or for me?
Didn't Freud just want to sleep with his mom or something?
I don't know. It was Oedipus.
Okay.
Kelly just dropping knowledge, man.
Let's see the boards, guys. Scott, we'll start with you. It's a guacamole. And for Nick, as for Kelly, as for Brian, that is another 100%.
Did I spell it right?
Let's see. We have Guacamole.
I got it right.
Nice work.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't think I had it right, but I'll take it.
It took me, I'm 46 years old. I bet I was 40 before I started liking guacamole. Guacamole. Huh. You don't say the G. I was taught that.
Huaca.
Well, in all fairness, it's really just become huge in the last like decades.
It has blown up.
It's always been a thing, but it's like in the last 10 years, it's like.
Well, the avocado.
Mexican restaurants have blown up in the last 10, 20 years around here.
And guacamole is just like people are crazy about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The avocado specifically has been deemed
that's
healthy fat or whatever.
Exactly.
Right?
So exactly.
I would say 90% of the time we have avocado in my home.
Yeah.
Year round.
Kidding.
Oh, yeah. There's five or six on the island right now in a bowl.
What are you making guac regularly?
Not necessarily guac regularly, but I mean, if I make an omelet in the morning, we'll slice up avocado, put on there. Liz is a big fan of avocado toast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a new, hipster thing, if you ask me. But no, it's, I mean, yeah, it gets.
I'd make it for her and watch her with disgust.
You put butter and jelly on toast.
Or eggs and bacon, one of the two, right?
But my wife and my daughter will just eat avocado slices.
Really?
Yeah. Big fans.
I'll do that.
What?
Well, your maiden name?
It is Lopez, so it adds up. It makes sense.
From the native land. Well, guacamole, with roots in Aztec cuisine, is a beloved Mexican dip. The primary ingredients are ripe avocado, lime juice, salt, and sometimes additions like tomatoes, onions, cilantro, and jalapenos. This creamy dip is perfect with tortilla chips and adds a refreshing touch to many Mexican dishes. Now I'm an active fan.
No,
it took me a while to become a fan.
Do you make guac at home?
Yeah, we have mocajete bowls.
Okay.
It's a real word, mocajete.
I believe you.
Cooking terms. Cooking terms champion.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah, really, so it's a stone bowl. It's like mortar and pestle, I think is what
pretty much
the base of the term is. But yeah, you smash up everything in the bowl and serve it right out of that thing.
It's like an iron pot.
Yeah. But it's made of stone.
Yeah.
But like if you go to some Mexican restaurants serve a mocajete, I don't know if you've ever seen it. Mm-hmm. Like it's
one of
those stone bowls.
I know you're talking about the bowls.
That's super hot when it comes out. Yeah, so it's basically one of
Nick,
those. We have a couple of
Nick, please. Love of God.
What's it made of?
They were engaged. I'm talking to Brian. I'm talking with Kelly. They're interested.
I was interested.
I'm going to show them the mocajete next time they come over, right?
I just want you to say it one more time.
Mocajete. And then I'm going to drop it on Scott's foot. Thing weighs a ton.
It's a heavy heavy dish.
I guess we need to move on, Andy.
What's it made of?
What's it made of?
Yeah, it's made of stone.
Stone of some sort.
Like your heart?
What kind of stone?
I don't know.
You go fact check that and come back to us.
Don't act like you care. Let's move on.
Moving on.
Question five, right?
We are at question number five. We're due for a score check after this one. I'm going to be impressed with you guys on this one. In an upscale Italian restaurant, you might start your meal with raw meat or fish, thinly sliced and pounded thin, and dressed with lemon, olive oil, and cheese. What is this dish known as? I've had it on the hill. Upscale Italian. Right on brand. I'll read it again. In an upscale Italian restaurant, you might start your meal with raw meat or fish, thinly sliced and pounded thin. It's dressed with lemon, olive oil, and cheese. What is this dish known as? Got some shaking heads here. Nick seems to know it, but not be able to come up with it. Scott seems like he is confident he'll get there if he keeps thinking. He is at least deep in thought. Kelly, what do you got over there?
He's got a leg up.
Tell me your answer.
He has his marker.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's halfway home.
Can I tell you my answer now?
No, that's okay. Probably not a good idea. We already tried that.
I thought we were doing that.
No.
That's a one-time thing, all right?
I have an Italian appetizer.
Upscale?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Couldn't tell you.
Couldn't tell you, but... So it's probably not right.
Brian, you were quick.
I got you.
Does that match your confidence? You got me?
I got it.
Oh, wow.
What?
This is love of mob movies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think of that. Okay. Upscale Italian restaurant. We're pounding out raw meat or fish, putting lemon, olive oil, and cheese on it. What do we got? We've got tartare from Nick, cannoli from Scott. We got bruschetta from Kelly and fugazi from Brian.
Fugazi.
I don't actually know what that is.
Forget about it.
Is that a... No. Unfortunately, we do not have a correct answer. It is carpaccio.
I wouldn't have got that.
No?
I would not have got it. I know that word.
Yeah, I had that at Dominic's out down on the hill, which is this really long-standing, stodgy, like... Like it hasn't changed since the late 70s. I don't know. It was fine. Don't get me wrong.
I've heard of it at least. Yeah. I can say I've heard of carpaccio.
It's real delicate.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Carpaccio, an elegant Italian appetizer, was created in Venice in 1950. It features raw beef or fish, thinly sliced and pounded thin and dressed with the lemon, olive oil, and sometimes shaved Parmesan or capers. This dish highlights the quality and freshness of the ingredients, offering a delicate yet flavorful start to the meal.
Hey, trivia fans. We're excited to partner with Warrior Logo Wear, a veteran-owned company bringing you exclusive Ultimate Trivia podcast apparel. No minimum orders, just high-quality gear so you can rep your love for trivia and style. You can shop now at the Ultimate Trivia Podcast through a link on our website, or you can customize your own clothing at www.warriorlogowear.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
All right. That's question 5. Nick, where do we stand on the scores?
All right. So after 5 questions, Kelly's in the lead with 4.
All right.
And then the other 3 of us, Brian, Scott, and myself, all have 3. So it's a tight race.
How you feeling, Queeners?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Hanging with the cooking guy.
Good deal. All right. Well... I feel good about the second half separating the men from the boys. So we'll move on to question number 6. Picture yourself in a vibrant Spanish bar, savoring a variety of small savory dishes served with your drink. What's the collective name for these tasty bites? The collective name. So picture yourself in a vibrant Spanish bar. It can't be dull. It's got to be vibrant. Okay. Savoring a variety of small savory dishes served alongside your drink. What's the collective name for these tasty bites? Kind of bougie, right?
You made it sound bougie.
Yeah, I tried.
Did you ever see the episode of Cheers where Cliff Clavin was on Jeopardy?
I have. Mm-hmm. The people that are not in my kitchen?
Yeah. Yep. We're getting ready to have one of those moments.
I love the preview.
Rosie Perez and White Man Can't Jump.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Foods that start with the letter Q.
Yeah.
All right, so we're in a Spanish bar. We get a series of small savory dishes. What are they called? Nick, we got tapas, appetizers from Scott, tapas from Kelly, and appetizers from Brian. The Queeners agree, but falter. That is not the correct answer. Tapas is, of course, the right answer.
What's that Spanish for? Appetizers?
Small plates?
Little things? I don't. Yeah, I have no idea.
Appetizers?
Might just mean small plates. I have no idea.
Kelly speaks some Spanish over there.
Un poquito.
That, yeah, see? Proven. Kelly's fact-checking tapas. What does it translate to directly? Small bites, I bet.
Hold on. I'm just getting restaurants.
Mm. Okay. What does tapas mean?
Well, we'll talk about it while he's looking it up. Tapas are a cornerstone of Spanish cuisine originating in Andalusia. I have no idea if I said that correct.
You didn't.
But it's somewhere probably. Yeah, no, I'm quite confident you're right, actually. These small plates, which can range from a simple olive to an elaborate seafood dish, are designed for sharing. Common ingredients include garlic, olive oil, seafood, various meats, making every bite a delight surprise.
Mm-mm-mm. There you go.
Yeah, tapas, like that's like a thing, like right? Like a tapas bar is a mm-hmm. destination. Yeah. You go and get a
small plate,
$18, you know, martini or whatever, mm-hmm. and then pay $45 for some crackers and salami.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, also known as appetizers.
Appetizers. Yes, exactly. Also, yeah.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Finger foods, roughly.
Finger food.
Okay.
Yeah. Appetizer, yeah. Probably. Yeah.
Appetizers.
Appetizers.
All right. Moving on to question number 7. Grab those markers again. On a Greek summer day, you dip your bread into a refreshing mix of strained yogurt, cucumber, garlic, and olive oil. What's this traditional appetizer condiment called? Let's go through it one more time. There's a lot of words. On a Greek summer day, you dip your bread into a refreshing mix of strained yogurt, cucumber, garlic, and olive oil.
I'm just going to say it when you read, okay?
Yeah, fair enough. I know where you're going with it.
I want you to try to read it.
Yeah. What is this traditional appetizer condiment called? Okay, Brian's got something down. Scott's still finalizing his answer. I'm pretty confident I know what Kelly has down. Let's see here.
I was pretty confident until he made his comment. Now I have no confidence.
No,
at all.
No, none. Yeah. Okay. All right. You guys ready to show?
Sure.
Let's see it. Kelly, what do you have?
Tzatziki sauce.
There we go. Hummus from Brian. We've got not worth the effort from Scott and tzatziki sauce from Nicholas,
mm-hmm.
That is the correct answer. Tzatziki sauce, and I'd have no idea if I'm officially pronouncing it correctly, but I think the T and Z are like a contraction of some kind.
Tzatziki is, what yeah. I think is what.
The Z silent in that one. I don't know.
No, tzatziki.
Yeah,
tzatziki. But is it spelled just like TZ maybe? I don't know.
TZAT. Tzatziki. IKI. Yeah. Tzatziki is a staple of Greek cuisine. Is a cooling dip made from strained yogurt, as we said, finely chopped cucumbers, garlic, olive oil, lemon juice, and a touch of dill. This refreshing appetizer condiment is often served with grilled meats or pita bread, providing a perfect balance to bold flavors in Greek dishes. I can't say that I have ever had it outside of an gyro.
Mm. Oh, is that the sauce on a gyro?
Yes, yeah. It is.
It's
yeah.
good.
There you go. Yes, it is. I like
that. Yeah, yeah. Total mind blower.
Connection. Yeah. Yeah, I dig it.
That helps. That helps.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I've ever had
a good gyro.
Double meat, extra tzatziki, man. That's how you make a gyro, right?
Love a good gyro.
I've had it and dipped in like cucumber slices in the tzatziki sauce.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sounds good.
I've always called it cucumber sauce.
By ignorance, or you just thought that's
well, I mean, that's
because he's like American.
A lot of
silly Americans.
A lot of Americanized Greek restaurants. That's what they
is. That right? I can't say I've ever seen that. I don't remember.
I can totally see that. Yeah.
I've heard it called that before.
Classic American arrogance.
Yeah, I love it. Absolutely.
Got us involved in a war we did.
No.
All right. All right. Number 8. Oh, man. I love this one. In a traditional British pub, you might snack on a hard-boiled egg wrapped in sausage meat, coated in breadcrumbs, and deep fried. What's this hearty appetizer known as? I've had it. I love it. Scott doesn't have his board in his hand.
I have no idea. Like, I can't even guess.
String it. Words together.
Yeah.
Same way, Bri. You never heard. Never heard.
No, I mean, I think I've heard of the recipe there.
Yeah.
But on the name, not really? A clue. Not a clue. Okay. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, I've made these.
I got nothing.
In a traditional British pub, you might snack on a hard-boiled egg wrapped in sausage meat, coated in breadcrumbs, and then deep-fried. It is a hearty appetizer, and what is it called?
I'm going to kick myself when I hear it, but I think I made up an awesome new appetizer.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see the boards, Kelly and Nick. Nope. Nick's out too. We got shepherd's egg.
Okay. Shepherd's pie.
I'm kind of down with that. The other three did not leave answers on the board. It is known as a Scotch egg.
Scotch.
And I'm surprised that
I've heard of it.
Okay.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. Dang it.
I mean, it's like a breakfast sandwich, but like a big ball of breakfast sandwich.
Yeah.
But
Britain, but
Scottish.
Scottish.
Yeah.
Yeah, UK. I mean, yeah. I mean, they're all bundled up there, right?
Yeah.
If it's not Scottish.
I cannot. I've seen these. I don't think I've ever had one.
With Scotland is it's full of Scots.
Oh, my Lord. These two have gone off the rails over here. All right. Well, that was number eight.
It's not going off the rails. It's the greatest movie ever made. Yeah. Is what it is.
The Scotch egg, a British classic, are believed to have originated in the 18th century at a London department store. They consist of a hard-boiled egg. I've actually heard them as a soft-boiled egg in the middle originally. Probably becomes hard-boiled again.
It's a big debate over there.
It's a hard-boiled egg encased in seasoned sausage meat, breaded and deep-fried to crispy perfection. Often served with mustard or pickles. They make a satisfying pub appetizer. It's alongside
like
of a beer,
they do in
man.
America.
Well, that's true.
The deep fried part helps.
The deep fried. It sounds American to me. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's number eight. Let's see where the scores sit there, Nate.
Still got a tight race. Kelly still in the lead. He's got six.
Okay.
I have five. Scott and Brian both have three.
Starting to separate as we expect.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, coming into question number nine, these next two are far from layups. Question nine, which fresh and zesty appetizer originating from the coastal Latin America is made of raw fish marinated in citrus juices like lime or lemon? So it is a Latin American coastal appetizer noted for its freshness and zestiness. It's made of raw fish. And marinated with citrus juices. Oh, something just smacked Kelly right in the face. Got very excited. And then it left just as fast.
Hoping it's not the right answer.
Okay, you feel good?
I feel good.
Okay.
Feel good.
Anybody? Brian? Nope. Scott? Nope. Okay. We're cashing it in. I don't mind. We know what we know. I
feel kind of good.
Sometimes we don't. All right.
You look good.
Gentlemen, let's see the boards. Nick's got a ceviche.
Ceviche?
Kelly's got a ceviche. You both have the correct answer. Well done, gentlemen.
That's from going to restaurants with Zane. Thanks, Z.
Oh, hey, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Mm. I'm glad you said that because my next question was, how the hell do you know this?
Yeah. I didn't know what it was until we had a dinner party with Zane with a bunch of his friends and a bunch of foodies. And
how do you know that?
I was embarrassed. I'm like, Zane, what the hell is ceviche? Yeah.
Have you ever heard of
Do you have toasted ravs?
Yeah, right. Have you ever heard of a cooking show called Top Chef?
Yeah.
Yes.
So these are award-winning chefs that come together to compete to become the top chef.
Yeah.
This is an extremely common appetizer presentation in high cuisine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
fine
I
hear dining.
You. I believe you.
So I would have, this is one I would have.
Yeah.
All right. So that was question number nine. Moving on to the final question.
Mm-hmm.
Nick and Kelly are squaring off.
Oh,
comes down to this.
It's close.
I like it.
The iconic Italian appetizer typically consists of marinated tomatoes, fresh basil, and mozzarella cheese, and is often served on toasted bread. What is this classic dish? Kelly looks like he's got some confidence as he has capped his marker and set it on the table. Nick's asking for a repeat here. This iconic Italian appetizer typically consists of marinated tomatoes, fresh basil, and mozzarella cheese, and is often served over toasted bread. What's it called?
He's got it.
He's got it. Do you have it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any hope for you, Scotty?
No, I got it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
I got it.
Brian?
Probably not.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we go 4-for-4. What do we got, gentlemen? We have got bruschetta from Nick, bruschetta from Kelly, cannoli from Brian, bruschetta from Scott. We do not have a correct answer.
Oh,
wow.
Hold on.
What if I said that the mozzarella, tomato, and basil
bruschetta
has a balsamic and olive oil drizzle typically?
I eat this all the time when we go to our work meetings in Indianapolis, and I don't know why they serve in Indianapolis, and I can't think of it now.
Thanks. It's a caprese salad.
Yep.
Oh.
A what?
A caprese what? Salad, technically. Oh, but it's often served either on bread or over skewers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it is a common salad as well.
Yeah.
Either way, we got a winner.
Yes, we do.
Well, let's learn about the caprese before we crown our champion. It is a refreshing and flavorful combination of sweet tomatoes, fragrant basil, and creamy mozzarella, and is often dressed with olive oil, there you go, and balsamic. The simplicity of this dish allows the high quality of the ingredients to shine through, making it a perfect starter for any meal. We have a winner.
Yes,
Nicholas, you want to lead us from bottom to top here?
That I can do. So from the bottom, Brian had 3. Scott had 4, thanks to bruschetta. No, you didn't get that one right. Sorry, Winona's got it right. So you both have 3.
Hey!
I have 6, and our winner is 1, Kelly.
Kelly Norwood, the champion.
Zero enthusiasm in the voice. You like that? Kelly, whatever.
Hey. Well, well done, Kelly. You took appetizers home. We had already crowned Nick a champion before we started.
You're
on
a little embarrassed, or...
No, I'm not embarrassed.
I'm just asking.
Why? No, why should I be?
Because well, you lost.
You're the, food
how much
guy.
Time you got?
I got time.
You don't know food that well. You don't know the Titans. I mean, what's your
here we go. I'm done with this place.
Oh, that's beautiful. All right, I promised you we would go through the tiebreaker, and I am going to award whoever gets the right answer next week when we record, I will bring a 12-pack of your beer of choice. For whoever wins.
That's quite a gift.
How many wings are consumed yearly in the U.S.?
That is an impossible direct or specific answer, though, right? You're going to love this, I promise you. Nick, are you even paying attention?
I am. Go ahead.
Okay. You're going to write an answer down?
I will. Right. I was getting the scores for the records.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Held in Philadelphia in 2018. Wing Bowl 26. The final event in the series saw Molly Schuyler win for the 3rd time, setting the record for the most wings eaten in 30 minutes. How many was it?
Wow. Most wings eaten in 30 minutes.
That's right.
And it was a girl.
It was a girl on her 3rd title in the final installment of Wing Bowl.
Shout out to Molly.
Yeah. Hope you're still with us.
Molly's going to get 5 new followers.
There you go.
She's got my heart. Yep. And my cholesterol level.
That's right. I'm going to read the whole thing one more time, and then I'm going to ask for some answers. Held in Philadelphia in 2018, Wing Bowl 26, the final event in the series, saw Molly Schuyler win for the 3rd time, setting the record for most wings eaten in 30 minutes. How many did she eat? We're going to ask for a 3 count. 2, 1. Let's see some answers. Brian has a number of 184. Kelly at 333. 990. Jesus.
That's a lot of wings.
From Scott, that's so many wings. And Nick's got 113. The correct answer, which is still mind-numbing, 501 wing, making Kelly... The champion double of the winner. Day and gets a 12-pack.
How many?
This is why I had to read this. This is absolutely blowing my mind. All of us at one time or another have sat down to eat all-you-can-eat wing bar or something like that. I mean, what's your personal bet? I'm like a 15 maybe or something,
She's a sturdy gal.
501.
I understand she had 30 minutes. So I was like calculating. I was like, I was thinking how many she would eat in a minute and stuff. Yeah. But I was like, but at some point, she's filling up.
You're filling up.
But when they do those hot dog competitions, it's mind-numbing how many of those they eat.
It is, but it is.
I don't even know what that number is.
Close to a number like
that. So I was going with a wing every 2 seconds.
Wow. So is the
had the right idea, just this insane number. Yeah. Kelly just got there. That's close.
Well, I was figuring 10 wings a minute.
Well, you were doing math.
Yeah. Well, okay, I was thinking that way, but I was like, but she would, there's no way she could do hundreds.
So, question, are they all flats? Are they drummies?
I can't
speak
to that.
Is it a mixture of both?
But I do have a little flavor on it.
If she does have the flats, you can do the push, the slide trick.
I'm pretty sure I invented that.
500, though?
That's ridiculous.
That's still, right?
That's nuts.
Still crazy.
Brian has a new crush.
Yeah, no, I mean, kidding. A pound of wings is usually what, 6 to 8 wings?
Yeah, if they're plump, yeah, right.
So do that math. How many pounds is that?
Crazy. It's just crazy.
What is that math? If you figure at least eight wings for a pound.
Well, just do 10. That's be generous. That's 50 pounds.
Pound. 50 pounds? Yeah. I don't know. How's that possible?
50.
Well, I mean, well, without the bones. Without the bones.
Bring that up.
So we cut in half then.
Right? That's ridiculous.
Still over 20 pounds of wings.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, I checked. Like, this was New York. Like, I vetted the heck out of this.
She sure likes meat, but she don't eat the bone.
Let me read a little color on this because it's pretty impressive also. So Molly shattered the record set in 2015 by Patrick Bertoletti when he won with 444, which broke the record set by Molly in the previous year, which was her first win at 363.
Just nuts.
You check that. Check out Wing Bowl on Wikipedia. And like the first one, with the first one was impressive. It was like 90, I mean, which is still nuts.
Nuts.
Yeah, pretty cool. All right. Well, thank you for playing along with that trivia. Let's get back to our bonus question here. It is actually very similar to the question of the week, but it does have a different tone to it. And we're no longer trying to impress people. Okay. But what is our go-to when we are invited to a potluck?
Oh.
Our go-to bringer. So this could be a trivia contest where everybody's bringing something. It could be at work, you know, a luncheon or what. But what's everybody?
Something you make or purchase?
Ideally make, you know, you can combine some processed ingredients together. Maybe you don't have to go from scratch, but, Brian is pulling up a picture of Molly. Is that, Molly Schuyler.
Yeah. She's like 127 pound woman.
They usually are thin though. Yeah. Obviously, when you see the hot dog guys or people, whatever.
Yeah, but she's that many wings. She's 30% chicken wing by the time she's done.
That's nuts. Hey, I'm 40% chicken wing.
Well, I know. We
just
know.
By DNA.
Yeah. Holy cow.
So back to your question.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the app.
I don't necessarily have like a go-to, but every Christmas I do bring chicken fajita dip. Is what it's called.
Chicken fajita.
It's a family favorite.
Well, let's talk. Okay. Let's give these listeners something to make to the next
processed
party.
Cheeses. Mm-hmm. So you're gonna be going with your Velveetas.
Yeah.
Usually I do. It's like I don't know whatever the size of the brick is. I don't know if that's a pound of cheese, whatever it is. But the Mexican style one, and then cubed up chicken breast. Bell peppers, onions, sour cream. That's it. Serve it on it. Serve it with some chips.
Nice.
Yeah. It goes over very well.
Yeah.
Seasoned chicken's a good way to go.
Requested?
Yes. Like if you brought something it's expected else? Every Christmas.
There you go. Yes. How about you, Brian? You're the guy that brings the cut two bags of chips when we go to trivia typically, right? I mean, you're not typically making something at
typically
all.
I bring something like chips or nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys
your
do,
brain. So. Yeah, right?
Usually nothing.
Your knowledge.
I'll bring a lot to the table for my friendship.
Yeah. That's all I need.
So what was the question? I'm sorry.
If you had a potluck at work, for family, whatever the case is, trivia, I'd like to use that example. What are you bringing?
Oh, chips and dip.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Store-bought though. Fully store-bought.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I used to make like Mexican seven-layer dip. We talked about
that. There we go.
I used to make that. It's been a while.
Yeah, you were domesticated at one point.
At one point,
I was.
Yeah.
Kelly, you got a go-to?
I usually don't bring a lot of stuff when we go to places, but one go-to, like family stuff that we've always had, would be like a sausage rotel, like the classic rotel cheese dip, and just add sausage to it. It's delicious.
Can of rotel, or a brick of the processed cheese, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that, toasted raviolis, that's my favorite appeitizer of all time.
Can't go wrong there.
All right, Doc.
Well, I need to preface this. So as shocking as it may be, I'm primarily the one that cooks in the house.
Yeah, I know that.
So with that being said, I normally bow out when it comes to these things, and my wife takes on the mantle.
Oh, that's a good division of labor. I like
that. So she is risky, and she likes to try new things and bring them and feed them to strangers or people we know, which I always think's risky.
It is.
She'll make Southwest pinwheels, right? Or she's made some kind of Mexican layer bean dip. But it's usually something we haven't done before. But if it's me, I'm usually bringing meatballs in a crock pot or something.
You're our rye bread and dill dip guy.
Right. If I'm going to the store, I'm getting, a rye bread and a dill dip.
Yeah.
That's a good one, though.
Good. I mean, it's always a hit.
It is.
Nobody ever.
Just something you can munch on.
Rye bread and cucumber sauce.
Right.
There you go.
Well, I have a recipe that I got from my sister-in-law, Beth. It has become known as my thing, and she's terribly offended when people ask me to bring my corn dip. It's very, very simple. Shoe-peg corn, a brick of cream cheese, and basically jalapenos to taste. You just really mix
good.
It up.
It's really good.
Use Fritos, corn chips, scoops to scoop it up, and it's like a, it's kind of like a popper, I guess, kind of a popper dip. Yeah. But anyway, it's regularly requested and well-received.
Question, in the summertime, have you ever used sweet corn to make it?
No. Chucked off I've never deviated from the shoe pig.
Okay. Next time, try that.
I will. I'll have to. I'll have to confirm, though, that it's sweet, because I think that's a big part of the deal. Scott's looking at me thrilled to death that this episode is over. So.
I just didn't know there could be more.
Well, that is officially going to do it for this episode of the Ultimate Trivia Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe, and we love reading those reviews. Keep them coming. We'll see you next time with more trivia and more fun. Until then, keep your brains sharp and those bellies laughing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
All right, we are going where?
Back to school shopping.
This is the Playoffs for Parenting, aka getting ready to get back to school.
As we get ready for back to school,
doesn't matter your income, your race, your background, whether you have a disability or not.
Our public schools are a place where all kids feel like they belong.
My child.
My children.
My family.
My friends' kids.
My community.
All students.
All students.
All students belong in a great public school.
Let's get ready for back to school at nea.org/back to school.